September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A northwestward motion is expected on Tuesday and Tuesday night.
But then Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Ivan 20 years ago. Which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful.
Morning, 8:10 here on, 8:11 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us is a friend who was in Leadership Pensacola with me, Brett Aldridge. He is the Chief Operating Officer of Baptist Healthcare. Brett, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Good to talk to you again.
Great.
Miss hanging out with you.
Yeah, no, I know. It's good to see you, good to hear you. So you guys are having a kind of a milestone that sort of snuck under the radar a little bit. How long ago did you build that hospital?
Well, it's exactly 1 year ago, now yesterday, that we built the hospital. And, man, what a year it's been. It's crazy to think back about what we were doing at a year ago yesterday, you know, moving patients from our old campus to the new campus and going through that whole process of years and years of planning. And our team just did such an incredible job. So, yeah, it's been an amazing year. And we really have had a lot of fun reflecting this week so far. We've got celebrations planned across the organization. We did cupcakes yesterday, and everybody's kind of sharing stories about what it was like for them. So it's been a ton of fun.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. You drop two-thirds of $1 billion on a community. you build a new hospital, and then a year later, people are like, well, what have you done lately, you know, right? So it's good.
It's been great. It really has. And, you know, what an honor to be able to make that investment. You know, we've talked about this before, but I grew up here in Pensacola, and so, you know, really the vision of that campus started with Pensacola deserves the best. And so, like I shared with you before, we went around the country trying to find the best technology, the best design, and I think that's what we've been able to deliver here. And in our community, I think, has appreciated it and responded to it.
So I assume that you've got some sort of numbers to share in terms of what surgeries, patients, you know, what kind of how things have shaken out over the first year of operation in the new facility?
Yes, it's been amazing. It really has. I think first and foremost, the coolest part is we've grown tremendously, and as a result of that, we've been able to add over 720 new jobs to the organization as a result of the new campus and to the community. So what a boon for economic development in Pensacola.
Wait, Brent, hold on. You added 700 new jobs just by being in the new facility compared to where you were before?
728 new positions. Yeah,
wow.
That's correct.
I mean, that's brand new company just popped up with 700 new jobs. And for context, like how many people are employed by Baptist in total?
About 4,500 total.
So you increase, my quick math, that's like 14-15%, right? More than that,
yeah,
16 or 17%. Okay, wow.
Yep, significant increase. Some of it is just, you know, same types of roles, but adding to it because of new patient demand. Some of it is support roles. So it's kind of a variety of roles across the organization that we've been able to add and bring people on board to Baptist. I think, you know, the building is amazing and incredible. The technology is phenomenal. The care that we're able to provide because of that technology in the building is great, but it's really about the people. At the end of the day, it's the people inside the building that provide that care and deliver that experience to our patients, and that's what we're most proud of.
And I kind of interrupted you as you were telling me. I just couldn't believe that number. It's an amazing number. But I think you're also going to tell me about, like, patients and surgeries, just to get a grasp of how much Baptist does in the community.
Yeah, so in the past year, we've done over 11,000 surgeries at Baptist Hospital. We've had over 1 million phone calls to our main number there. We've served over 320,000 patient meals. So it's it's fair to say we've been busy, and we've been loving every minute of it.
Oh, that's fantastic. We're talking to Brett Aldridge. He's the Chief Operating Officer of Baptist Healthcare on the one-year anniversary of the new hospital on Brent Lane. We'll come back to Brent in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with that accident that happened on I-10 eastbound right around mile marker number 11. Got traffic backed up all the way to Pine Forest. As you make it through the construction zone, then you encounter that accident, which is causing more delays. So it's about a 15-20 minute delay through that area. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Brett Aldridge with the Baptist Healthcare and Baptist Hospital. So, Brett, looking back, you've had a year to live in the new house, and I am sure in that year you have discovered a lot of things that you did right, a lot of decisions that you did right, and then you've probably discovered a few decisions that you wish you could have made a little bit differently. I know this is almost an unfair question to ask, but give me the swinging wild estimate. What percentage of the choices you guys made turned out to be really good ones, and what percentage do you think you could would have done a little bit differently, and maybe highlight some of the ones that you've learned to improve on since then?
Yeah, what a great question, and you know, it's certainly we've lived it every day for the past year, and you're not going to believe me when I say this, but I believe that 99% of the decisions we made about the design of the campus were the right decisions. I think that has been one of the most surprising things to us, is just how well everything has worked and flowed.
That's great.
You know, part of the process, I believe, the team that we brought on board, the partners that we worked with to design this campus brought so much expertise, our ability to go around and see other hospitals. And I think most importantly, our teams, so our team members truly designed this campus. I mean, hours and hours of meetings with the architects describing workflows, working through those processes. So it's really designed by our team. And I think that's why that statistic is so high. There's a couple little things here or there, like, oh, we wish this door would swing out, or we put this door on automated sensors and maybe we should have done it just on a swing hinge. Really minor things like that. But overall, the entire facility is amazing. The natural light is something that we've talked a lot about, and that's better than what we even could have imagined. The town square is really incredible. All the new technology, it's, you know, in healthcare, we kind of become nerds and geeks about the technology that we use every day. And so the team's loving all the new toys that we have. So really, it's been amazing. And I would say we got almost all of it right. It's really been amazing to see that kind of the national response to the new hospital. We've been published over 17 times. We won a big award in Healthcare Design Magazine recently.
Nice.
And so people are coming to us now over the course of these past 12 months saying, hey, can we see, can we tour, how did you do this? Particularly around resiliency and the redundancy that we've built in for storm preparedness and the like. So it's really been amazing and has kind of become the standard of how you design a hospital moving forward, which is really cool that that's right here in our hometown.
I want to extract something that you said that you might have said a little bit briefly for people to catch it too much. But, you know, your comment was we did the design by listening to the people who use the service and work for us. And I remember when we were looking through it and, you know, getting toured by like the chief nurse and all this kind of stuff, and they were so proud of how much input they had had. And I'm going to draw a lesson, and then you can either tell me I've got it exactly right, or you can tell me I've missed something. But it seems to me like this is the officers let the enlisted design the weapon system, or the management allowed the, you know, the laborers to design the car manufacturing assembly line, or pick your example. The wisdom was, let's let the people who are going to use the thing and do the work design how it works. And funny thing, that'll turn out to really work well in the end. Amen, or did I miss something?
Amen. I mean, I think you're right on target. And it only makes sense to do it that way. Right.
I mean, you would think
these people are in this environment every single day. Our team members know exactly what works well, what doesn't, where pinch points are, what patients enjoy or in terms of process and flow, and what patients struggle with. And so when you bring all that knowledge together in these kind of vignette processes that we did where every department was getting together talking about the flow, then you end up with a product that everybody's happy with. You know, they have the knowledge.
Yeah,
they
right.
have the experience, and that's what they've been able to put together in this facility.
Yeah, that's your master chiefs. You know, listen to your master chiefs. They know what they're doing.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
so we've been talking about the good things. I have two maybe less good things to ask about, and I don't know where we're going to go with this, but number one is traffic on Brent. Has been a concern, especially coming south on the access road, turning right, and then all of a sudden you got to get over and get to the left. You know, just there's been some issues that I've heard people raise with that. And then in the background, I knew we had a lot of conversations about getting the ambulances and or getting, for example, 18-wheelers into the back of the facility off of the access road where you go under the Brent overpass. Either or both of those have helped me understand where we're at on that.
Yeah, well, let's take the latter first. So ambulance ingress, egress, as well as truck deliveries, and that has really been no problem at all.
Great.
That's been very smooth in terms of getting in and out, not really getting log jammed at all. So that's been a smooth process. In fact, the county just paved the road back there, which has helped. There were some potholes and things like that, so that just got paved.
Good.
We're going to be adding some lighting back there. The county will be adding some lighting as well, and so that'll just improve visibility there. But no issue there. That's really been a smooth process. In terms of the really getting onto the interstate there, that is kind of a quick, when you go from that lane, you've got to jump over to the entry to interstate there, and that has been a little bit dicey. We've done a lot of traffic studies with the lights and timing the lights, and that has improved it a really good bit. And we're continuing to work with our traffic planner to see if there's anything else that we can do. So we've made some improvements there and relaxed that. It wasn't terrible to start with, but it's getting better.
Okay. All right. Then the other challenge note, obviously we've had a lot of conversations with legislators and interested parties about the Legacy Campus. I think some people are pretty frustrated at you guys over what they perceive has been done there, whether it's from the funding side or from the, some people feel like you guys abandoned that part of town. Where are we at in the process of really getting that back on track or getting that developed?
Yeah, well, I think we're making great progress there. And honestly, Andrew, I'm really proud of the way that we have handled that process. If you look around the country and you look at hospital moves, what you typically see is that hospital sits there for 10, 15, 20 years. Look at Birmingham, look in Memphis, look in
Mobile.
Other locations where moves have happened. And we didn't do that. We got ahead of it and assembled, as you probably recall, a very large convening of community constituents where we really seeked input. And in addition to community leaders from nonprofit organizations and other organizations, we surveyed all the residents within 1 mile of the old Legacy Campus and said, what would you want to see here? Now, affordable housing was one of the things that rose to the very top of the list. So what did we do? We turned right around and partnered with an affordable housing developer to bring in over 200 units of affordable housing homes. We'll be closing on that here in the next few months. And so that was really the catalyst. I mean, we wanted to deliver on what the community feedback was. We partnered with the city of Pensacola on that. We're grateful for their participation. So PACES Foundation will be building a little over 200 affordable housing units on about 12 acres on the campus, on the west side of that campus. And so that's in progress. So I think that's the first thing where that has been a catalyst and a commitment filled based off the feedback. The next thing is we partnered with the city and others to really secure what we call a funding stack. So the dollars needed to do some demolition and bring this entire vision to life. You may recall that we partnered with a design firm that specializes in kind of large municipal exits. They built a development framework that both we and the city have been using. So we've got this funding stack now in place. We got $7 million appropriated from the state of Florida. The proceeds from the PACES sale that I mentioned, the acreage that we'll be selling to PACES, we are going to be contributing that to this demolition and funding stack. We've got additional funding from the county potentially, as well as some other funding stacks. So really the funding is in place to put things forward. And we're continuing to work with D.C., Mayor D.C. Reeves and his team. We're in a due diligence period where we're really assessing the remainder of that campus and how we would go about demolition and the like. So we're making great, great progress, and we're doing it way ahead of the timeline that you would typically see. So, you know, that's something that was important to our leadership team. Many of us are from this area, grew up in this community, and so the opportunity to take 51 acres in the heart of the city and transform it is something that was near and dear to our heart, and I'm really proud of the way that we've done it so far.
And you're exactly right. You know, it's hard to think it was only a year ago, and, you know, a lot of these facilities, you drive past them, like some of the ones you mentioned, like, man, it's been 20 years and it still looks like that. So, you know, it might be a little bit unfair to say, well, it's been a year, but, you know, it's only been a year at the same time. Brett Aldridge, he is the Chief Operating Officer for Baptist Healthcare. We didn't even get a chance to talk about the Henderson Healthcare Center that just opened up, the other big building that you guys have been constructing there, part of the U around the entrance area. But, man, lots of stuff going on, Baptist. And, again, congratulations on the year and all of the improvements to your ability to serve the people and the new hires. That really shows that you're, you know, doing something great in the community. Brett, thank you so much for the time. Good to talk to you again, sir.
You as well, Andrew. Take care.
You bet. 8:25 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Still dealing with issues on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, and even a little past that if you're headed to I-110. Pack about a 10-minute extra in your commute time there, because we've got traffic backed up all the way to Pine Forest. Other than that, if you're rolling through Highway 90 in Pace, let's see here, right around the Pea Ridge area, you're going to see some delays just due to congestion. And other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Flashlights, check. Camp stove, check. Canned goods, check. Ice chests, check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
Join Sonia Duckett with Trinity Wellness of Pensacola Thursday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Sonia will be taking your calls and discussing how you can reduce back pain and achieve your body goals with non-invasive treatments at Trinity Wellness. You want to look and feel your best. Find out how with Trinity Wellness and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. I've now practiced law for over 44 years. I'm proud to say that my three sons are my law partners. We have five offices throughout the Panhandle: Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. If you have been injured due to the negligence of another, call us at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
DeFranco Gas is your local expert in all things gas. Local Tom DeFranco and Company has been installing and servicing your gas power business and home needs for over 38 years and is here to help make your gas life easier. Tankless water heaters, gas grills, gas fireplaces, gas heating systems, and DeFranco Gas gets your home and business storm ready with installation and servicing of whole generator systems. All things gas. DeFranco Gas, your local gas service provider. Member of the Better Business Bureau. DeFrancoGas.com.
When you find out you're pregnant, everything changes. Every choice now impacts a child's future. Research has proven that smoking weed while pregnant can hurt babies. Cannabis passes through the placenta, leading to brain development issues, anxiety, poor academic performance, and physical problems at birth. Any use of THC while breastfeeding is also dangerous for babies. Your child or grandchild's future starts now. Don't put it at risk. Say no to marijuana while pregnant. This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV.
A Hey, taking a quick look at the early models that have come out this morning on this potential tropical cyclone, which will become tropical storm and then Hurricane Helene later on today. Pretty consistent that they're showing it going through the point at Apalachicola or just east of there. Nothing shown coming here, at least not with the eye. So we are tightening up on the models. The intensity continues to be all over the place. Now the top have it at a Category 5 when it makes landfall later on Thursday. So, you know, this doesn't mean ignore it, but it looks like likely to miss us in terms of primary hit, but still we're going to be in the close zone, and obviously things can change, but that's kind of what the all of the models seem to indicate this morning. And somebody said, well, Andrew, when you don't put up shutters, that's the problem time. I wish I had that kind of power, but I do have that kind of luck.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden addresses the United Nations General Assembly this morning.
A senior administration official says Biden has a solid story to tell as he wraps his administration, that he rallied the world to defend Ukraine, responsibly managed U.S. competition with China, and worked to secure a ceasefire deal between Hamas and Israel to stop the fighting, get aid to Gaza, and free the hostages. That work is still ongoing.
Fox's Rich Edson. It looks like making Nebraska winner take all, giving former President Trump a better chance at another Electoral College vote, is not going to happen before the election. Trump supporters have been lobbying for it.
Republican State Senator Mike McDonnell, a former Democrat who switched to the GOP this year, said in a statement that, quote, 43 days from Election Day is not the moment to make this change. Maine and Nebraska are the only two states that aren't winner-take-all.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. Election Day is 6 weeks from today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got, looks like sunshine here in Pensacola and 76 degrees. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. One man dead, another in jail after a shooting in Beulah last weekend. The sheriff's office says they responded to a shots fired call on Rebel Acres Lane. That was about 10 o'clock Sunday night. An unidentified 40-year-old man was found dead in the yard with a gunshot wound. 33-year-old Dennis Herrera was arrested later on after a traffic stop. He's now charged with second-degree murder in the case and is being held at the Escambia County Jail. The sheriff's office says the suspect and the victim had previously been roommates and were involved in some type of a disagreement. The investigation continues there. A man known as Knowledge now charged with a murder after a woman was found dead in Escambia County. Deputies say that woman was found on Sunday with a deep fatal head wound. Investigators say they learned that an acquaintance of that woman had been in the area with a hatchet and fled the scene. They say they located the suspect, Tari Weathers, who also goes by the name Knowledge. He was arrested. He's now charged with second-degree murder and also faces a drug charge. NASA astronaut Nick Hague and Russian cosmonaut Alexander Gorbunov are preparing for Thursday's launch that'll send them to the International Space Station.
They're scheduled to take a Crew Dragon capsule to the station launched atop a Falcon 9 rocket. The capsule normally carries four people, but two will be left behind so that two NASA astronauts currently stranded on the station can be brought back to Earth when the mission ends in February. Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams arrived at the ISS in June aboard the Boeing Starliner for what was supposed to be a week. But issues with the spacecraft led NASA to leave them on the station out of an abundance of caution. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you very much, Tammy. It's time to brace for a potential major hurricane. Governor Ron DeSantis issuing a state of emergency for 41 counties in Florida yesterday. That includes Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Tropical Storm 9. Is expected to strengthen into Hurricane Helene as it heads up the Gulf. The governor said it could pose a significant threat. And Marco Rubio and Rick Scott, Florida senators, have asked President Biden to immediately approve Florida's request for a pre-landfall emergency declaration. The governor actually holding a press conference this hour with the latest details on all of that. And the lawyer who represented George Floyd's family is now working for Tyreek Hill. The Dolphins wide receiver announced yesterday that he hired civil rights attorney Devin Jacob. Hill wants the Miami-Dade police officer who handcuffed him during a traffic stop 2 weeks ago to be fired. Jacob says Hill intends to continue the national movement of police reform. And it is 8:34 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look just a few seconds early at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. But if you're on 98 between Midway and the Garland Point Bridge heading, westbound, you're going to see some major delays through there due to heavy congestion. But other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a nice sunny day today with a temperature near 88 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Wednesday, rain chances start to increase. We are expecting potential tropical cyclone 9 to make its way into the Gulf of Mexico, eventually becoming a hurricane before making landfall in the Big Bend. Coastal conditions going to be looking rough for us as our main concern. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 76 degrees in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, 75 in Milton. Your market report this morning, the Dow is up 72 points at 42,196. S&P up just over 3 points now at 52,77. NASDAQ up 34.5 points at 18,008. 10-year bond rate up just a bit, 3.78% this morning. Gold price is up $8.40 at $2,660.90. Silver prices are up 30 cents today, making your Trump coins a little more valuable. And taking a look at the crypto market, Bitcoin is up $154.59 at $63,522.70. And it is 8:36, our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope, from the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates the recent winners and finalists in the 2024 Pensacola News Journal Community Choice Awards.
Here is one of the recent winners who can say they are the best of the Bay.
Adore You Salon was voted Best Hair Salon for 2024, a full-service salon with nail, lash, and permanent jewelry services. Help them thank the community with a cut-a-thon event on October 5th from 11 to 3, with 100% of proceeds going to Making Strides Against Breast Cancer.
Congratulations to all the Best of the Bay winners.
Football season's here, so let All Season Service Network tackle your HVAC issues, and you can focus on enjoying the game. All Season Service Network's special financing offer requires zero down on all new American Standard heating and air conditioning systems. Subject to credit approval, see dealer for details. And with 24/7 emergency service, you never have to burn up. All Season Service Network, keeping your home comfortable for the past 50 years and counting, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Call now or visit online, allseasonservicenet.com.
Next time on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Afternoons are better on News Radio 92.3. Top trending stories, financial news, sports, flight information, interviews, traffic, and the most accurate five-day forecast. This is Chris Bryant along with Austin Price. It's Pensacola Right Now. Happens just after 4 on News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 till 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
So I know you're used to hearing the frivolous topic at this time, but we are in a pending weather emergency with 41 counties declared emergency zones yesterday by the governor. And the governor is actually speaking from the Emergency Operations Center in Tallahassee. We'll go to that now.
Well, good morning.
We are at the State Emergency Operations Center in Tallahassee. We are now at a level one. We are providing an update on potential tropical cyclone 9, which is expected to become Hurricane Helene and impact Florida's Gulf Coast over the next several days. I have Kevin Guthrie, the director of the Division of Emergency Management, with me here today. Yesterday, I signed an executive order declaring a state of emergency for 41 counties, which allows for state officials to make resources available to communities ahead of any potential storm impacts and to work to expeditiously prepare for the approaching storm. This morning, given the data that's coming in about the tracks of the storm, we've increased the number of counties to 61. Basically, every county in Florida outside southeast Florida, the coastal southeastern Florida counties, are now included. And part of that is we expect effects could reach significantly inland. We have requested a pre-fall emergency declaration from FEMA. We expect that to be approved very quickly. Here at the Emergency Operations Center, we are, of course, on full activation. As of this morning, potential tropical cyclone 9 is located about 120 miles west-southwest of Grand Cayman, about 240 miles south-southeast of the western tip of Cuba, and it's moving northwestward at 8 miles per hour. Now, the storm has not yet formed, but we anticipate that to form in the next 12 to 24 hours and be a potentially very dangerous storm. The models currently range from it developing into a tropical storm all the way to a major hurricane at Category 4. If you look at the National Hurricane Center, they have put out their cone, and they're actually forecasting it to be a major hurricane by the time it reaches landfall, which is Category 3 or higher. And they've never in their history forecasted a major at this stage of development. And part of it, I think, is because there's some similarities to the track that was taken on Hurricane Michael. And I think the thought is that when it's over the Gulf, especially the more north it goes rather than east, it has a chance to have a rapid intensification. So we, as always, we prepare for the worst, we hope for the best, but we'd rather be prepared and then have it not reach that level than just hope that it doesn't intensify and then be caught not being prepared. So we do anticipate that it will intensify before it makes landfall. We do anticipate it's going to form in the next 12 to 24 hours. We also anticipate storm's going to move pretty quickly once it gets beyond the Yucatan and Cuba, and it's got a pretty good runway throughout the Gulf of Mexico. The Big Bend and Panhandle should be especially prepared for a direct impact. We just got some model runs this morning that take it as far west as pretty close to Panama City. And I think the eastern routes are probably more in the Big Bend region. And that's just the direct impact. But I think it's important that people don't get wedded to these cones. First of all, the cone, you can be out of the cone and you could still have major impacts. And the further east this goes, may not be have as much runway to have the maximum intensification, but that brings in the entire western coast of Florida for potential significant storm surge. So just know that this thing's there, know that this could have broad impacts, and we're anticipating impacts. I mean, 100, 200 miles outside of the eye of the storm, you could see with winds and you can see with surge. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area, you anticipate that you're going to see impacts. We could also see impacts in southwest Florida with some of the surge, just depending on what the track is. And then, of course, the northern part of the state will end up getting a direct impact at some portion of there. But there's still a lot of uncertainty here. So I think people just should know that, hey, this is out there. We are going to see significant impacts no matter what happens. But don't act like, well, the cone moved another 20 miles to the west, therefore we're going to in the clear. There's still a lot of uncertainty left with this, so be prepared. And that's one of the reasons why we've done the 61 counties, because we understand that you could have impacts that are outside of where the current cone is. And in fact, we anticipate there to be impacts beyond the current cone. So now you still have time to prepare. Review your hurricane plan and make sure that you are executing your hurricane preparedness plan, your gas tanks filled, water, non-perishable food that will last you, particularly when you have power outages. Clear up any loose objects in your yard that could become a flying object in strong winds. Know your evacuation zone. We always say that you hide from the wind, but you run from the water. Very well may be these local, the county level, will issue some evacuation orders for some of the low-lying coastal areas. That is absolutely something that is likely to happen. So heed those directives and make sure you're taking the appropriate steps to protect you and your family. But you have time to be able to put this plan into place. We anticipate the storm is likely to make landfall sometime on Thursday night. We will, of course, see impacts before then. But for the rest of today, and probably even into to tomorrow morning, you're going to have opportunities. And look, this formation may take a little longer. That will push it back further before we see impacts. We don't know that yet, but it's possible you could see Friday morning impacts if the storm takes longer. So right now, regardless of how it forms or the speed, right now you do have time. So take advantage of that time. Low-lying areas.
Very good update from the governor from the Tallahassee Emergency Operations Center. As he said, he expanded the declaration emergency zones from 41 counties to 61 counties. One lone county is not in it. In the southeast corner of the state. As he mentioned, it has not yet formed even into a tropical storm, and it's predicted to be anything from a tropical storm to a Category 4. The National National Weather Service, anyway, is predicting it to be a 3 or above, what he called a major hurricane. Panama City at the western edge of the eyefall, Big Bend, the more likely expected eyefall. And he's emphatically reminding people, don't get married or wedded to the cone. Just because the cone wiggles 20 miles, don't think you're safe or unsafe. I would say at this point that we are all kind of expecting not to be directly affected, but we will certainly be in the push zone that we'll get, you know, rain and wind. Most likely we'll get rain and wind, but the surge could be anywhere up and down the western coast of Florida, as he mentioned. So a bunch of good information from the governor, and, you know, good to remember to execute that plan and be prepared, and then you're not caught off guard by all this stuff. 8:47 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still seeing a minor backup on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Other than that, if you're headed from Pace into Pensacola, right around the Scenic Highway, exit there, not exit, but just road, you're going to see some delays right there. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you need to change careers, PSC. If you want to pick up a personal enrichment course or two in some subject that you've always found interesting, guess what? You can pay for that, PSC. I mean, you can do that. Very reasonable rates, by the way, for any kind of educational opportunity. And if you are a high school student or you have kids who are in junior high or getting ready for high school and you're thinking about dual enrollment and you don't know what that is, it just means that you go to high school and college at the same time. It means that you take college courses at Pensacola State and then you get college credit that you can carry with you to the university, or you can even get, like, you know, an associate's degree while you're doing it. But you do it while you're in high school, and it's free. There's no cost because you're a high school student. So you get books paid for, courses paid for. There are teachers who are oriented around teaching. They love to teach. Lots of flexibility in class scheduling. You can pick your course sections. You can pick your teachers. Lots of variety. Okay, it's something that our kids have really learned, is that PSC is a fantastic resource. My two oldest going to university with a year and a half of college credit. The youngest just starting on that path right now. But it is, I mean, literally, it is a wonderful opportunity for you. Pensacola, Warrenton, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
It's the return of 0% financing for a very popular Volkswagen from Peakmore Imports. The 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan is now available with 0% financing for a full 60 months. The already discounted Tiguan S is now from $29,499, with a choice to finance through Volkswagen Credit at 0% for a full 5 years. But if 0% isn't your thing, take an additional $2,000 off the already discounted price for a lower sale price of $27,499. And low rates like 2.9% for 60 months are available on the 2024 family-sized Atlas. Or the choice of $3,000 in customer cash. And the Atlas Cross Sport with 2.9% for 60 months, or the choice of $2,500 in customer cash. The numbers are looking better and better at Peakmore Imports. They're not at Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices.
Special APR rate for qualified credit through PCI and a standalone offer not to be combined with customer cash discount. Sale price before tax, guide, title, and income fee. See dealer for details.
This is Coke Zero Sugar. Could I be the best Coke ever? Listen closely. Hear those bubbles? That mouth-watering waterfall? Delicious. Ice cold. And zero sugar. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Try and decide.
Try Coke Zero Sugar today and decide for yourself if it's the best Coke ever. Find Coke Zero Sugar at any local retailer.
Hey, Donald Trump Jr. here. Central banks are buying gold at record amounts, and the trend is accelerating in 2024. They see the writing on the wall. The dollar is failing. Is gold the answer for you, too? To find out, get a free info kit from Birch Gold Group by texting the word SHELTER to 989898. That's SHELTER to the number 989898 to get your free info kit from Birch Gold, the only gold company I trust, right now.
Message and data rates may apply.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, tonight at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax. Enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This Tuesday, Crosstown takes the stage, playing a little bit of everything, including classic rock, blues, and everything in between. It's Bands on the Beach, tonight at 7 with Crosstown.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, earlier today we were having a conversation about the changes with M&M's that they're rolling out a brand new flavor, peanut butter and jelly M&M. And which I'm just kind of, you know, baffled by this whole concept. But okay, I guess you can put anything within that little, you know, shell and chocolate. And we discovered that they have cold brew flavored. They have dark chocolate. They have peanut. They also have one that created a little bit of a stir. I know we're late on the frivolous topic, but I want to make sure you get it because I feel like your day doesn't go as well when you don't get the frivolous topic. So we discovered that John, among the various ways in which he butchers the English language as a Texan.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
So, C-A-R-A-M-E-L.
That's caramel.
It's not.
It's caramel.
437-1620. What is the correct way to say this word? I discovered doing a little bit of research that the British say caramel. And Americans are supposed to say caramel.
Wow.
Yeah. So why don't you like America, John? 437-1620. 437-1620. What is the correct way to pronounce this word? We got Mike Wiggins stumbled into the middle of this conversation. Put that mic on. Let's get Mike's answer because he hasn't been listening, so he doesn't know. It's a total cold answer. Mike, you know, sometimes candy bars have chocolate, and then they also have this yellow, gooey, not quite honey stuff in there. C-A-R-A-M-E-L. You know?
No, I don't know.
How do you say that word? C-A-R-A-M-E-L?
Yeah. Caramel. Oh.
Caramel, like I said. Caramel. Thank you.
Well, what's what you do?
Caramel.
No.
Okay.
Me
all
and
right.
Mike have lived here long
okay,
enough.
Okay, so listen. Okay, you're cooking a steak or fajitas or something like this, and you slice up some onions, and you put the onions in the pan, and you saute those onions in the pan with maybe a little bit of butter, a little bit of garlic, something like that. When you get all done, they're a little soft, and they've got a little bit of a black encrusted edge to them because that picks up the maximum amount of flavor. What would you describe those onions as?
Caramelized.
There you go.
Caramelized.
Caramelized. Because that's the right way to say that word.
Wrong. There are two ways to say that word.
Nobody says caramelized.
No, but you can pronounce the word differently.
437-1620. Somebody here says, you say caramel if what you mean is diabetes. Somebody here says, caramel is the right way. Somebody here says I'm with John. Somebody
Thank
says
you.
It doesn't matter how you pronounce the word, just as long as I can eat the thing you're describing. Okay, all right. No, that's
Fair
a good
enough.
Thing. Somebody else says I'm with you, Andrew, 100%. Thank you so much. Caramel equals camel, the way we say it in Molino. Like that? Oh, man. I knew this would be a small one, and so I didn't think it would take up necessarily our whole segment that we normally do, but I'll ask Mike because he's the nice one. Mike, can we still be friends even if you say the word wrong?
Well, we're always friends, no matter what.
Very good. It's just another one of our deep, divisive topics. All right, moving on. 8:55 here on News Radio. It is a Southern thing more to say, I think, caramel. And, you know, so I won't fight you too hard on this because I know that I'm the stranger in a strange land and not the native in his own land. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. Still, oh, somebody says, no. Somebody says, number one, Andrew is right yet again. Number two,
no.
The onions are burnt. That's how you solve that problem. No, they say they should be brown. Well, oh, caramelized is right on the edge of the brown, right on the edge of the black, just a little bit almost to that point. You're right. Okay, fine, whatever. Go ahead, John.
Traffic on the fives. I-10 eastbound is backed up at the Highway 29 all the way almost to Pine Forest. But other than that, traffic's rolling smoothly right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You're trying to work a way to say caramel into that, aren't you?
I was trying.
Yeah, you didn't succeed.
No.
If you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, you're trying to decide if now is the time. Should you put it off? Should you shop around? You know, what should you do? Hey, go to Frontier. They've got 300 different cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, Jeeps, all on the lot, and you can look at as many as you like. You can sit in as many as you like. You can test drive as many as you like. It's a very, very easy process. And, you know, they specialize in cars that are 2, 3, maybe 4 years old, 1 year old. I mean, the one we got was one, but they have a lot of cars in the, you know 20 to 60,000 mile range. So you can get all kinds of different things. The idea is you buy a car there and you're going to drive it for a while if you want to. I mean, you can bring it back into them a couple of years later and do the same thing. But they'll warranty it up to 100,000 miles themselves. Plus, you got the auto's warranty because the cars are relatively new. And like I say, good prices and really just good people serving the local Pensacola community with all kinds of cars, all kinds of colors, including caramel. 4-3. It's the most forced callback ever. Frontier Motors been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says the word wrong. It's 8:57 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Last major Kmart in the nation is going away. It's in New York. The full-size last Kmart in the nation is going away. The only one that will remain soon is in Miami, which, John, you've been to.
Yes.
And it's not even fair to call that a Kmart, right?
No, it's not. It's basically like a convenience store.
Inside what used to be a Kmart. Like, they have gradually cannibalized off portions of their own store to some other company, right?
Right.
So it's kind of sad. Like, that's your last example. You don't really want to, you know, that's not the one that you want to work on, really, or you want to work at. So, and you've been there.
I've been there. Yeah. You know, I had to go see this because I was like, oh, it's
before it's gone.
Yeah.
Like, if you knew
Kmart.
Radio Shack, like, this is the last one, you would have gone to,
I don't know,
steal some
Radio
promotional
Shack.
Merchandise or something.
Yeah.
And we all do. So the company that owns them, Transformco is the name of this company, and that's by law, you're obligated to say it that way, still has 3 Kmarts in the U.S. Virgin Islands. What's that do for me? What's that do? Nothing. But anyway, so they still aren't completely gone, but let's just say going fast. All right, time for future news, where John and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. The big news of today, no, not the Helene, not the camping ordinance, but the Trump coins.
Oh, yes.
Trump is selling $100, 1 ounce, 35 value, but we'll sell it to you for $100. Trump special limited edition coins with what he calls his own beautiful face on them. How many will sell at $100 a piece?
Oh, we're talking millions.
I think you're into the 100,000 at least. Yeah, I think a lot of
I mean,
of
it's going to be like an
sell.
iPhone launch.
Yeah, do you oh, my God. Will the M&M peanut butter and jelly flavor be successful?
No.
Yeah, I don't see it either.
I don't see jelly.
I think it's a super. I mean, if peanut butter and jelly flavored candies would be successful, they would have already been successful. And I don't think it's not because anybody never thought of the idea. How long will Biden speak at the UN today?
Oh, that's going to be 2 hours. Because he has to pause.
30 minutes.
Oh, come on.
It'll feel like 2 hours.
Okay.
It's kind of like the wind chill. You know, it's only 30 minutes, but it'll feel like it's freezing out there. That's it for us. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Streamer.